It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. We're as you're listening to this, as we're recording it, rather, we're 2 weeks from National Signing Day, the first in the early signing period, Wednesday, December 19th. A good time between now and the Citrus Bowl on New Year's Day to do a little goal reset and a little class reset. Penn State, 17 commits in its class. And I think we discussed this last week, but just I think it's worth saying again and again what we think the total number is going to be. And I suspect maybe 3 to 5 more commits, whether it's by December 19th or whether it's by the second signing period in February.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I was just a little bit distracted. Sorry. So Penn State, before we get into recruiting, Penn State, actually, the money has flown in on Kentucky. They're already down to a 4.5-point favorite from 7 early or late Sunday night. So that's interesting.
This matchup and the way they play defense, 7 points is a lot. Was a lot of points to
right.
begin with.
Yeah. So
and I think you never know. Like you kind of suspect that it's being manipulated by the books to entice certain money on to get things started.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you know they probably knew that it might be. I think it's going to be tough to get Kentucky money at 4 and 3.5. I do. So I think you open it at 7, though, you might get some money right out of the gate to help even you out because that's their goal at the end of the day. At any rate, that is not the conversation that you and I are meant to be having right now.
By the
now.
Way, I know. If you get Kentucky -7 on a Monday and the line shifts to 4 on a Thursday, you still are locked in at -7.
Well,
right?
+7 in this case. But, well, Kentucky,
right,
yeah,
+7.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Once the ticket's into your hand, you're good to go. It's not like horse racing where the odds drop and you bet it at 5-2 and then,
yeah.
then 1-9 happens and then your horse, you know, finishes last. I've been there, done that a few times.
It's you sounded like Eeyore at the end of that thing. Like, oh, all right. Anyway, so yeah, recruiting. What's the number? 17 commits so far.
Yeah, and so Isaiah Humphreys deciding to transfer out opens up a spot, but keep in mind they gave Jan Johnson a scholarship and he is expected to be back next year, so that I think that's kind of a wash in a sense. So at this point, you know, we've said all along kind of like 21, 22, 23 look to be the range, which would give them like 5 or 6 more spots to add. I think that's probably what we're looking at this point. I don't even know, quite frankly, if Penn State even has that. I mean, so Adisa Isaac is obviously a guy they want. Jared Harrison Hunty is a guy they very much want. But, you know, if they would somehow be able to flip Nolan Smith from Georgia, that would be 3. I mean, the odds of that, though, are just horrendous. Zach Harrison, Penn State really would like, and the odds of getting him, you know, aren't that great.
They're looking slimmer and slimmer.
Right. Sure. So, I mean, you have some other names on the board, wide receiver, maybe defensive line, you know, offensive tackle. Trevor Keegan's a guy that's still out there on the board, but feels more likely to go to a Midwest school. So I think that Penn State probably has 6 or 7 guys on the board at this point. I'm not sure it can get all of those guys, but you can always add guys at the end, of course, too. So new guys come up, and I would expect them to at least get 5 commits by February's signing day.
Yeah,
and Noah Cain's a guy we should have mentioned that's out there as well. David Bell, too, but it looks like with Jeff Brohm staying at Purdue, the wide receiver from Indiana will go to the Boilermakers. So,
couple other names, too. Jakai Moore, the offensive lineman.
Oh, I mean, with him at this point, I just – you can say all you want it. Penn State looks like the favorite, that the crystal right. ball says Penn State, Penn State, Penn State. I mean, he looks like he I thought he was going to commit in like April to Penn State, and
yeah.
it's December, and he still hasn't. So tells you either one of two things. He's just really not that interested in committing. He's been looking for an option to surpass Penn State for quite some time now. Or Penn State has been slow playing him and saying, well, we like you, but there's some other guys we want to try and get first. It's one of those three. I don't know which. But if it, you know, almost all of them are bad news for Penn State, unless he just hasn't felt like committing and wants to stretch the process out, which in that case, it probably would still be good news for Penn State. But I don't know about him at this point.
I would say right now a balanced class, the way that they've got scholarships divided up so far. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but they've got a lot of different positions covered. One area that's just not yet is the interior of the defensive line. You mentioned Jared Harrison Hunt, a new name, Devon Ellis, who's a defensive tackle.
Right. Yep.
There's a couple names to watch there. I suspect you're going to see some movement one way or another. I don't know. Again, by December, by February, you're going to see them address that position, and you've seen some names start to bubble to the top of the surface.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is very, very strange to see Penn State at this point with such a limited crop of defensive line recruits. I mean, obviously, there's names still on the board that have been for a while. You just mentioned a few of them, but honestly, Dustin, I mean, one defensive line commit, Hakeem Beamon, at this point is all Penn State has. And this has been, of all of the recruiting success James Franklin and his staff have had, and even beyond that, for all the success Sean Spencer and his team have had getting guys to the pros as defensive linemen, the recruiting has just not really followed. Okay, they got P.J. Mustipher, Aeneas Hawkins, and Judge Culpepper in the last class. But, I mean, other than that, it hasn't been that great. And I know the defensive end, you know, spot has been seen some bright spots. Itur Grosmatos, of course, among the highest one. But it's one position they haven't really mastered yet. Offensive line's kind of the same way. But at least they've gotten some stars there. It just maybe hasn't developed and translated onto the field as quickly as a lot of people would like. But, you know, I think that's one thing that really sort of jumps out at me as they come down the stretch here is that they cannot afford to miss on these defensive linemen. It's not just one of these deals where, oh, it would be really nice if Jared Harrison Hunty, a defensive tackle, Odisa Isaac, a defensive end, and Devon Ellis, a defensive tackle. If they all pick Penn State, it would just be really nice. It's not a really nice situation. It's a holy crap. You know, we need these guys to commit to us because we don't have, you know, the numbers of that position that we want or need. And then it can, you know, it's compounded by just look at this past year. You had Fred Hanstrey get hurt. You had Ellison Jordan get hurt. You had to move an offensive lineman over to that side of the ball. Penn State does not get any more guys at that position. They're probably going to have to keep C.J. Thorpe there. So it has an impact on the long-term outlook of this program for sure.
I think C.J. Thorpe is going to maybe stay there because that's where he should be.
Well, that's
a whole separate discussion. I also think just because it's late in the cycle doesn't mean they don't know what they're doing. Like maybe I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that all's well that ends well.
Right.
And I do think that they're going to get – and by the way, I mentioned, you know, no interior defensive line prospects. I do personally believe Hakeem Beamon, as he's, you know, 6'3", 6'4", 255 pounds now, I think eventually he's a defensive tackle as well. I also am a big believer in the 18 crop of defensive tackles. I think they're going to add one or two. And I know that the situation feels urgent when you have to move an offensive lineman mid-season. That's pretty unprecedented.
Right.
But I do think that that's a temporary situation as this depth develops a little bit. I think it's going to be a position that you're going to be pretty deep at in 2019, maybe the late stages of 2019, 2020. But it's also a position you have to keep reloading again and again and again. You don't take a cycle off recruiting defensive linemen. So this is a pretty important time, again, whether it's the next couple weeks leading up to December or whether you're leading up to the second National Signing Day in February.
Uh-huh.
You need to keep an eye on these interior defensive linemen because they need at least one or two of them.
Yeah. No, I know. It's just that's the unfortunate part about it is that you can do all the right things in recruiting. You can have a top this class, a top that class, get this great quarterback, that great defensive back, whatever. But if you don't continuously stock the trenches and be able to control the game, I mean, look at how Georgia almost beat Alabama. They controlled the trenches, and a lot of that game they were able to get a pass rush. And it's not that Penn State hasn't been able to get a pass rush, because Penn State sack totals in the James Franklin era are among the best in the country, and certainly in the Big Ten. I mean, but in the big games, it disappears more often than not. I mean, the example you can think of is Garrett Sickles playing like a man possessed after he was suspended for the first half against Ohio State.
Just suspend all of them for halves.
Well, it's a fair point. Yeah,
right?
I mean,
are we the only ones who are seeing this?
Let's get that in James Franklin's mailbox, dear coach. But yeah, so I think that, you know, you're right. It's a position you can't miss on. And again, if Penn State wants to get to that next level, this is the kind of stuff they cannot let happen on a consistent basis. And unfortunately for Penn State, it has more often than not consistently not been able to get the same kind of talent at the defensive and offensive line that it has at the other skill positions.
Just looking at guys who are in the class right now, how about Keaton Ellis, the state college cornerback who, you know, he tested very well, which played a part in Penn State wanting him in the first place. He is a pretty dynamic athlete, and you started seeing that at his senior season in state college. Not a lot of offers outside of Penn State. And I think Penn State, you know, locking him down early probably prevented some other schools coming along and offering him. Like, what's the point? But you saw him ascend from a, you know, mid-range, maybe even low-range three-star. He's now a four-star in 24/7 Sports. And I think he all along has been a diamond in the rough, but it's starting to come to light a little bit what they're getting in that kid. And it's pretty exciting.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that he is the perfect example of a guy that committed so early that everyone just kind of was like, nah, he lives a stone's throw from Penn State's campus. Yeah, we're not going to send. Why are we going to make a hassle of flying into state college? And from some of the schools that would have recruited him, it had been a hassle to fly into state college. So why are we going to go through that when this guy's going to Penn State? So, yeah, I think that definitely has his offer sheet lower than expected and lower than folks thought it would be. But, yeah, I mean, I think he has the potential to be a day one contributor. I do, whether it's a return man, whether as a corner. I mean, he is a solid, solid player that is definitely under the radar, but certainly will be a known name by this time next year.
Anybody on decommitment watch, like John Dunmore, the wide receiver from Florida, is a guy that, okay, well, Florida State comes along and blah, blah, blah. And there doesn't seem to be any conversation about him in particular. And I think, in fact, it was last week in the state playoff game, he had a Penn State logo on his helmet. So, not that that says anything. Adam McLean's haircut would say the Penn State haircut. Yes. And Penn State just played against Adam McLean a couple weeks ago. But anyway, I think there doesn't seem to be any grumblings or any clear guy that you can circle that you could say could decommit. It is recruiting, so you have to understand that things can change in a second. But it looks like all 17 on board will stay on board. Do you think all or most are signing on in the early signing period?
Yes, I do. I think that it would be a big surprise at this point if one of these guys would leave early. I just don't see anybody in this class being sure. I'm sorry, not leave early, decommit. I just don't see any of these guys being shaky enough to move on. I mean, if it was going to happen, you'd have heard the rumors by now. You had heard the rumblings by now. Everyone was convinced that, you know, John Dunmore might decommit at some point, the receiver from Florida. Those rumblings have died down because mostly Florida State was where he was going to go, and Florida State stinks. But worked out for Penn State quite certainly. But, yeah, I don't think so. It looks like a drama-free March to signing day. Penn State will have to wait out running back Noah Kane, four-star, makes a decision on signing day. Georgia, Texas, the other two suitors there. Otherwise, Dustin, it should be a pretty stress-free next couple weeks for James Franklin and staff.
We'll talk all about it as we move forward towards National Signing Day. We're just beginning now talking about Penn State 2019 recruiting. Audrey Snyder from The Athletic joins us right after this. We'll probably talk recruiting with her as well. Stick around.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports. In partnership with GoPSU RV, we are introducing the Keystone Sports Network RV. All the benefits of the GoPSU RV lot, along with great gift items like catered meal from 409 Barbecue, barbecue gift box, wine gift box, and of course, Labatt beer. Hear all about the KSN RV? Email me at info@ksnsports.net, or you could also reach out with the Contact Us button on your KSN app.